Matthew 4, verse 11 delivers a promise. It says, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Sounds pretty good, until you realize it was Satan who spoke those words while tempting Jesus. You see, context is critically important when reading the Bible. Without context, we're vulnerable to dangerous heresies. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Searching the Scriptures, in which we're learning to study the Bible on our own. He titled today's message, Comparing the Flavors, Correlating the Text. And we begin with prayer.
Thank you for meeting with us in a special way during this time of worship. Forgive us, our Father, for the hours we have wasted, engaged in things that had no eternal significance, for trying to fill our lives with the cotton candy of our times that seemed to taste so good when we bit into it, but had such a hollow ring to it once we tasted it. Show us afresh and anew the importance of even just a few minutes a day spent poring over your truth. May we come to treasure it like the psalmist who wrote, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice." Show us the importance, Father, of walking with you so that we do not fulfill the desires of our selfish flesh. Bring us to an end of our own way, that we might awaken to realize that your way is the only way. Our hearts go out today to those in distant places who've lost loved ones through the treachery and torture of human savages, who have taken heads from bodies, who have invaded the peace of homes and hearts. We pray for those in very difficult places today, that you would, by your own grace and power, help them escape the edge of the sword. Guide them, Lord, and if not relieving them, give them the courage to face it, even to death. Watch over us as a nation, our Father, as we stand against such tyrants, those who would block even what we enjoy today, the open declaration of your truth. And lead us again to a deeper understanding of how to get into your word for ourselves. Instruct us in the value of observing what you have said, that we might see the truth. And then interpreting the meaning of your word, that we might grasp what it means to us. And today, the correlation of your word as we compare scripture with scripture, and ultimately the application of your truth as we observe and see and claim what it means to us personally. What a privilege it is to be under the sound teaching of your word. May we never take that for granted. And for this reason especially, we find that even this day, because of these privileges, it is well with our souls. In the name of Christ, our Savior. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Comparing the Flavors, Correlating the Text.
God has revealed his word in the book of God called, in our language, the Bible. And because of his magnificent revelation when he gave his word and inspiration when he oversaw the recording of it, he also takes great delight in illuminating our minds with an understanding of it. Today will be correlation, the whole idea of comparing verses with other verses so as to gain a balanced and reasonable understanding of his truth. Next time will be application, where we understand what it means to us personally and to others as those truths are put into action. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and you who memorized it way back then, just listen, your lips will move. Study to show thyself approved, show, S-H-E-W, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sounds great. I just don't know what rightly dividing means. And most likely you don't either. So we learned words that we didn't understand. But that was the best they could do when they rendered that back in the King James English, 2 Timothy 2, rightly dividing. This particular verse, look at it. The key word is divide. Orthotameo, O-R-T-H-O, ortho, T-O-M-E-O, orthotameo. Orthos is straight, temno is to cut. So the verse is saying, be diligent to find approval before God. A workman who has no reason to be ashamed, since we're being approved by God, because we have cut a straight path to the truth, allowing the truth to speak a straight word to us. That's the idea. That's what it means to rightly divide. I love the way the New American Standard Version renders this, accurately handling the word of truth. Accurately handling the word of truth. You gain discernment when you make a study of the scriptures. You become mature as you grow in a knowledge of what God has actually said. When you cut that straight line toward the destination of what exactly does God say, what exactly does God mean, and how exactly is it applicable to me in my life? The reason you can sleep at night when you teach false information is you've distorted the truth. This is called distortion, twisting the text to make it say what you want it to say. With that twisting of the truth, you can convince others that that's really what it means. We're learning in our time together that when you take the time to observe Scripture, you read what it says, not what you want it to say. You don't read into it what it doesn't say. You let it speak for itself. Scripture doesn't stutter. God has no impediment of speech. He's put his words in his book, and he expects his followers to read the print on the page carefully. And then we've learned also that you need to interpret, come to the understanding of the meaning of what you have read. And as we learned last time, there's a way to go about that. Today we move to the third step, and that's correlation. Because you see, a reliable antidote for a toxin or a poisonous faith is allowing Scripture to interpret Scripture. You don't have to rely on the manipulation of some speaker or some preacher, some teacher. You can go to the Word of God and see that it cuts a straight line to truth if you let it say what it says and if you interpret it carefully. You steer clear of toxic faith when you go directly to the Word of God, correlating one verse with another, comparing what Paul writes and Peter writes, what Isaiah has written and Job and Moses and Elijah and the others in the scriptures. It's comparing scripture with scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Correlation amplifies your understanding of what the Bible is teaching. It says this about prayer here, but not only here in Matthew. It says something about it in James 4 and in Psalm 68 and something else altogether in 1 John chapter 5. If you don't know that, you will find one verse. It will be your proof text for you to name it and claim it, and you'll be left with a disillusionment. You see, those are the people I deal with, those who have been victims of a toxic faith and come disillusioned, wondering why God didn't keep his word, when in fact he never promised that. You were lied to by someone who said they were showing you from the Bible. Every religious sect or cult I've ever heard of bases its teaching on what they call the Bible, or some part of it. So the best Bible teachers are those who know the value of comparing one scripture with another. In their excellent book, Howard Hendricks and his son, William Hendricks, have left for us to read, Living by the Book. In it, they mention one of the great Bible teachers of yesteryear, and a few of us are old enough to remember, Donald Gray Barnhouse, 33 years pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They write this, Donald Barnhouse used to put it so clearly, quote, you very rarely have to go outside of the Bible to explain anything in the Bible. Did you hear that? You rarely have to go to some source outside the Bible to explain what is written in the Bible. The reason for that, don't miss this, the Bible is the only perfectly correlated book on earth. Perfectly correlated. There are no contradictions. Cynics will tell you there are contradictions, so they will twist your faith in the Bible. They hope to turn you against trusting the Word. The Bible is always the watershed issue in every generation. This one included. The last one included. The next one will be included. We have 66 books that fit together in one system of thought, 40 writers, but one author. The Holy Spirit hovered over the revealing of truth, the writing of truth, the preserving of the truth, and our understanding of the truth. Our task is to handle it carefully, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:15. Handle carefully, guard against twisting and straying from that straight path. I've studied it for over 50 years. I have yet to find bad information in this book. Not one piece of bad information. Not one bit of poor advice. Not one needless warning. It is filled with truth. And our job is to cut a path to it, not twist it, not stray from it, but to dig into what it's saying. Let me show you something in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Just a quick little sideline. As I correlate what we just read in 2 Timothy 2 with 1 Timothy 1. Look at verse 5. Paul states his purpose as a minister of the gospel. Look at it. The purpose of my instruction, it means exactly what it says. Paul is giving us his purpose. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would what? Would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. How magnificent. Look at the next verse. But Remember what we learned under observation? That's a contrastive particle. It's getting ready to introduce something in contrast to what Paul has just written. That's my purpose, but please observe, some people have missed the whole point. They have turned away from these things. What things? The things I just stated. They've turned away from these things and they spend their time in meaningless discussions. They want to be known as teachers of the law of Moses, but they don't know what they're talking about, even though they speak so confidently. Same letter, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. Turn there next. Timothy, he writes to this younger man in ministry, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless and foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Now notice, some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. What have they done? They've twisted the meaning. They've said it really means this when it doesn't mean that. And there are people who have not made a study of the same scriptures, and so you take it at face value, of course. That's the danger of the false teacher. That's how cults get underway. Certain sects believe, S-E-C-T-S. Certain sects believe a certain way because the teachers have twisted the truth to mean what they want it to say. You're right, Paul. You're always right. They look like they know what they're talking about. And my, can they sell their goods. But you realize when you probe deep enough, you have been led astray. And I'll tell you, the fallout is dreadful. Like the man who wrote that about his grandmother, and his heart sank when he realized, as he saw where those gifts had gone. Grandmother never knew she was supporting a false religion, a toxic faith. So correlation helps us compare one scripture with another. Now let me help you know what will help you correlate your verses in the Bible. Here we go. Write them down. You need a good study Bible. You choose the Bible. You choose the version that you wish. I suggest for a study Bible, Ryrie Study Bible, the New American Standard Version. If you want the best book to study the scriptures, in my opinion, that will stay closest to the original text of Old and New Testament. His footnotes at the bottom are reliable. You need to own a good study Bible. That's just my choice. You may choose another, and that's fine. But you need a study Bible, one that gives you some room to write things in the margin as well as some helps in the bottom. Dr. Ryrie does a wonderful, wonderful job of giving you information that is reliable. I studied under him, as did many others, and I know of a few teachers more spot on than Charles Ryrie. Now, you'll also need a concordance, C-O-N-C-O-R-D-A-N-C-E, a concordance. It's like an index to the Bible, alphabetical listing of all the words in the Bible. If you get an exhaustive concordance, Young's, Strong's, or whatever may be your preference, you will get every word that's listed in the Bible, every single one of them. And often you'll get a few words of context with that word. You can get that online as well, and we explained how to do that last time. Without a concordance, you're left to search from one passage to another, and you need an index, you need a guide. By the way, make sure your concordance corresponds to the version of the Bible you're using. If you're using the NIV, you'll need to get an NIV concordance, because those are the words that are traced. If you're using the New American Standard, you need one that will trace that. If you're using the King James, you need the Young or the Strong concordance. You need to connect or correspond the concordance with the particular Bible. It'll help you to tie it in with the version of the Bible. Third, you need a Bible dictionary. It's invaluable for explaining background material and Bible history. Without it, you will be awash, unless you are one remarkable soul, where you already know most of that. And if you don't, you need all the help you can get, and a reliable Bible dictionary will give you the help. I happen to use Unger's Bible Dictionary. There are a number of them. Zondervan Bible Dictionary is a reliable source. There are others. You can ask at your bookstore, or if you go online to the source I gave you last time, you will see the various kinds of dictionaries that you might tap into. You may wish to have a one-volume Bible handbook. One I have is Haley's Bible Handbook. It gives you in one simple one-volume sort of an encyclopedia of the scriptures and gives it to you in brief form. Since time is short for most of us, it'll help you cover a lot of bases. And you may wish to use commentaries written by those who have made a lengthy study of the book. I know of several that I could recommend for 2 Timothy. I have always used commentaries when I prepare, after I've done my own study in the text. I rely on those who have studied it longer than I have and know a lot more about it than I do. And invariably, I will get insights from qualified authors who have written these commentaries. So those things will help you correlate the scriptures. Let me tell you something, lest you haven't guessed already. It's hard work. It's hard work. Those who throw the Bible around and quote half verses or take verses out of context to prove their point or to manipulate people haven't worked hard in the text. They've worked hard in their salesmanship. They've worked hard in knowing how to entertain an audience. They've worked hard in how to pique your interest, hold your attention, tell you stories about how you can become all you've dreamed of becoming. You can name it and claim it. Whatever is on your mind, just count on God and He'll give it to you, because after all, the Bible says whatever you ask, He will give it to you. We'll get to that in a few moments, but those who do work in the text, count on it, have sweated. They've worked at it. They've prayed over it. They've spent time in quietness, alone, seriously studying God's Word. You may only have 30 minutes a day. Commit yourself to 30 minutes. Cut off the television. Turn off the radio. Shut out all other interruptions and focus your attention on what you're looking at. And you'll seek an understanding of it by finding other verses that mention the same subject.
You're listening to Insight for Living and the classic series from Chuck Swindoll called Searching the Scriptures. There's much more teaching ahead on this important topic, so please stay with us through all 8 studies. To learn more about Chuck Swindoll or this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. It's not an overstatement to tag this study as a classic series because it truly represents Chuck's passion. Nothing brings more delight than equipping listeners to prepare their own spiritual meals and to become discerning students of the Bible. But we can't accomplish this mission on our own. That's where our monthly companions play a vital role. A monthly companion is someone who gives a donation every month, allowing us to provide these daily programs on your station. Chuck, you and Cynthia carry a special affection for monthly companions. After a Sunday morning service, for instance, we often find you greeting people who attend, and many are quick to tell you about their role as monthly companions.
You know they do. I'm down front right after I preached. I'll stand there until virtually the last person in the church leaves. Cynthia's right there by me, and we can't number the people who've come by and done that very thing. They'll either say, we regularly support you, or they prefer to say, we're among your monthly companions. And I always give them an extra hug or shake their hands with a little more vigor. And I say, you can't know what that means to us. And many of them will say, oh, I think we do. I think we do know. That's why we want to do it. So that's what today is about. We want to prompt you to move from this random giver prompted by impulse to regular giving so that your gift comes through and helps us in season, out of season, month after month.
Well, becoming a monthly companion is quick and simple when you call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. To say thank you to our first-time monthly companions, we'd like to send you the brand new book Chuck's written. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? Each of the 11 chapters in this book addresses a specific problem, such as pain, loss, and loneliness. Again, when you become a monthly companion, we'd be happy to send you the book What If God Has Other Plans? If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
Imagine what it would be like to share communion at the Garden Tomb near Jerusalem. Or picture yourself floating in a boat on the calm, scenic Sea of Galilee.
Isn't it time you saw the Holy Land? Join Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Whether it's your first time or your fifth or sixth time, you will love traveling with newfound friends and family who share a similar love and respect for the land of Israel.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries.
You'll learn a lot, yes, but this isn't an academic trip. We squeeze every possible opportunity to ensure your encounters in the Holy Land include quiet moments just between you and the Savior.
Join us March 1st through 12th, 2020, by calling 888-447-0444. That's 888-447-0444. Or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. In his series called Searching the Scriptures, Chuck Swindoll talks about understanding biblical context. Tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Comparing the Flavors, Correlating the Text, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.